If you'll give me your time just for a little bit, we'll get into some stuff tonight. I want to recognize somebody. I hope I don't embarrass them. But I'd like, if you would, Garrett, would you stand up? This young man's come into my life a couple years ago, and for the last year, he has been working on his relationship with the Lord and himself, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud to call you friend, and I'm glad you came by the church today. You're a blessing in my life, and for having you here today is a blessing and an opportunity, and I thank you for coming by and gracing us with your presence. Thank you, young man. We had another young man. CJ came last week. We had a missionary. I didn't get to point him out, but that's awesome. That's when you get to see some of the fruit of the labor that you put in your life and come back and see you, and it's pretty cool, all right? So John chapter 9 and 1. I wanted to tell you about the preparation of this sermon. We're in a series called Coming Out of Your Darkness. And the last two sermons have been really good, I believe. One was about parents and the other one was about people. Well, I got scared because for about 48 hours, God didn't move off the Word and Jesus passed by. I mean, Friday night I broke out my lab. When I'm desperate, I go into lab mode. That means I break the books out, I separate myself, I get right over the book, and I pray, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait. And if it don't come, it's scary. Now, I don't know. I know it looks good up here, but you know, if you had to preach in front of 100-something people and the Word of God's in front of you, right? And I ain't going to preach something that God ain't give me. I ain't. If I try, it'll hurt. But he just kept saying, pass by. And I thought, you know, sometimes I want to get stuff that's fresh and new. I do. Anybody like fresh bread or fresh anything fresh, right? Eggs, pizza, tacos. I'll go, huh? Krispy Kreme. You get on the altar. I'm not kidding. You just caused 10 people to relapse right now. Fresh. But you know what? I mean, sometimes an old thing is as good as a fresh thing. Amen? Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. There ain't no cute, there ain't no new, there ain't no fancy way of preaching Jesus passed by. That's as old as it gets. That's old school. Jesus passed by. Jesus passes by. This morning, he's passing by for you. We've got excuses. Tons of them. What about this and what about that, Lord? And what about the people in Africa? And what about the people in Egypt? And what about the people in New York and California and this and that and the other? But we don't have any excuse for Jesus is passing by you today. He's coming by here. He's trying to get a hold of your life. See, I used to have those excuses too because Jesus passed by my life so many times before I got saved. And I had a lot of excuses until the day that he passed by and I reached out and said, I want it. Until I let him touch me. Until you let him touch you, you'll never know what Jesus passing by really means. Because when Jesus passes by sometimes, some people get touched and other people do not. Amen? And it's all about whether you want him or not. And how much of you want. And if you're willing to let him touch you. Man, this old boy we've been studying about, he was sitting there blind, and I've tried to think all the time different avenues and different ideas of why God wanted to touch him. And we don't always know why God wants to touch us, but aren't you glad that he did? Somebody asked me, so why do you think God saved you? I had some ideas now, but at the time, I had no idea. But I did not care. I don't care why God wanted to save me. I don't care why he allowed me to have my sins forgiven. I don't know why he wants me in glory. I didn't know why he wanted to use my life. But I'm glad that he did. I'm just glad he did. Amen? Somebody says, oh, you get to do some great stuff. All the stuff that I do, I would do like Paul. I count them dung. We don't use that word anymore. We call it poo. We call it poo. In 2016, there's rougher words for it, but poo is the one we'll choose today. Paul said, I take everything I do. my preaching, my praying, my studying, my time, everything. If you say, could you keep all that and not have Jesus? I would say, flush it. Flush it all. Give me Jesus. Do you know when it's all said and done, when we're standing before glory, what not one of us will stand there and say, look what we did or look who we are. You know what we'll say? We'll point over and say, look who He is. Look what He done. I'm not worthy. See, the problem is we come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, but a lot of times we don't come in the right attitude. We come to show other people who we are instead of looking at who Jesus is. If we would get off the throne sometimes and let Jesus be on the throne and let us get back on the cross. Well, wait a minute. And when I say that, I know it offends some because somebody says, oh, we can't get on the cross. No, we deserve to be on the cross, though. See, the cross that Jesus hung on, I deserve to be on it. He didn't. Sometimes I wonder why I have a hard time worshiping in church. A lot of times it's because I won't remove myself from my own throne and let Jesus sit down and let me worship Him. Sometimes I come in here and I forget how lost I was. I forget about the day that Jesus came by. I forget who I was when He came by. I forget about how dark it was. And sometimes I wonder why other people, but I forget how dark it was. Hey, have you ever watched somebody who's blind? When they sit by a window or something, they feel what? The warmth and the heat. And they'll say, there's a light right there. And then somebody will say, well, golly, can you see? No. I just know when light showed up. Because I can feel the warmth. I can feel the presence. I can remember the day that Jesus showed up in my life. Amen. I could just tell that He was there. I could feel the presence. But guess what? I was still blind. I was still in my darkness. But then He reminded me. He wanted to save my soul. He reminded me, Kevin, I want to save you. I've been wanting to save you since I was 8. Since you was 8. You know, I can trace my sin all the way back to when I was 8. A lot of people talk about their 20s, how rough they got and how bad they got. My 20s were terrible. They were. But they started when I was 8. The trouble started when I was 8. I could take you to the room where a person put a pornographic tape in a video machine. I could take you right there to it. I can remember it going into VCR. That was the same exact time that God started dealing my heart about being what He wanted me to be. Number one, saved. And then He wanted me to glorify Him with my life. Have you ever wondered why God chose you? Have you ever wondered why God chose you? He is a perfect minister for the mission. That's why He chose you. Go, look at this right here. Verse 1, John chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He saved the man because he was perfect, a perfect person for the mission that he had. Did y'all know that Jesus was having trouble with some Pharisees and Sadducees? He was. He was having problems with the religious bunch who would, no matter what he said or done, they wouldn't change. They were sitting there listening and watching, but they weren't listening and they weren't watching. They were just waiting to prove him wrong, no matter what he did. No matter how big of a difference. So Jesus said, instead of me telling them because they're not listening, I'll just show them. I need a perfect minister for this mission. Golly, ain't this cool? Jesus comes by. Now, who could I choose? And all the people, Peter, James, John, all the people that were walking around him, people, I guarantee there was a businessman, there was a qualified man, there was somebody who had a background that could do a lot of things, but Jesus walked by and there was a man who had been blind since his birth. Perfect. That's what I need. Because see, I have some blind people, these Pharisees, who've been blind their whole life, and the only way I can show them in detail is take somebody who's physically blind since birth, and I can give him sight, and that way they can see how they really are, even if they don't accept it. God's cool, ain't He? Because sometimes we think, man, why don't He do this, and why don't He do that? But God's saying, look, I'm God, you're not. He goes, hey, I'll use this one. God uses the weak things to confound the wise. He uses the base things, the things that nobody else would use. Do you know why, though? Do you know why he uses the base things and the weak things? I got an answer for you. You know why he does? One, if he chooses somebody that's blind since birth and can't do anything for himself, they will never get so big, they will never get so much bigger, they will never forget how blind they were. They will never forget how blind they were. Listen, I don't care what I do the rest of my life, I'll never forget how blind I was, how sick I was in my sin. I'll never forget it, ever. Ever, ever. Somebody, I don't care how good it gets. I don't care how good ministry gets. I won't forget it. I mean, somebody come on and say, Kevin, you're doing this great. Somebody said, you did this. Praise God. You ought to have met me before I got saved. I was a wretch. I was wretched. Amen. I'm a wretched sinner. On the inside of me is a wretch that God gave sight to for no good reason. So every time I get around people, I realize how bad I am. And God loved me despite of that and saved me. Amen? But guess what else? I want to rescue other people. I do. That's the main reason. Since God saved me, I want to save other people like me. I want to rescue other people like me. I'm serious. The worse they are, the better for me. I dive in. I have a hard time to get around righteous folk. I do. I was telling the brother this morning, I love it when people say, man, I'm messed up. I'm hurt. I'm broke, man. I don't know why God wants me to do anything. I'm miserable. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, me too. Man, me and you are just alike. Praise God. We can help each other. I can tell you. See, do you know that all believers are, all we are as Christians, are one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. That's it. Do you know there were some lepers one time? There were some lepers. And the city had been surrounded, and they were all locked in there, and the lepers was dying quicker than everybody else. Is that all right? Lepers die quicker than everybody else because they got a flesh-eating disease that takes away all the good of their body. And they were sitting around, and the enemy had surrounded them, but the Lord had chased the enemy off, and nobody knew it. God, that'll preach. Gary, that'll preach. The enemy had already been chased off, but the people didn't know it. See, the Lord has already whooped the devil at the cross, and he's a liar. Write that down. The devil is a liar. And if somebody ever lies to me one time, if they ever lie to me one time, I don't have to believe anything they ever say again because they're a liar. Whoops. But these old boys, the enemy had already ran off, and the lepers, I'm preaching now. Hey, the lepers, I was wondering when the Spirit of God was going to catch up with the message. But here it is. Amen. He was running neck now. He's ahead of me. All right, good. Praise God. All of a sudden, look, they're in there, and the lepers were like, man, we're going to die either way. Hey, some people think they're going to live. The enemy's got them whooped, surrounded, and starving, and somehow they still going to rely on themselves. But them old lepers, they looking at each other, one to another. They go, your leg just fell off. Well, that's all right. Your arm fell off. We going to die. I'm hungry. You hungry? Why don't we just go out there and see what's going on in the enemy's camp? Because we going to die either way. No, come on. So you know what they did? Let's go out there. If we die here, what does it matter? If we die there, no matter what. Some of y'all just need to change your location. Some of y'all been sitting in the wrong camp too long. All of a sudden, they got up, walked out there, and you know what they found? The enemy had been ran off. Them old boys walked. Come on, David, help me. If you're going to sit up here, brother, you need some participation. Amen? They went into the first tent, and they were like, look, food. Amen? And they started gorging themselves. And all of a sudden, next treasure, they look at a treasure. Wow! Horses! Wow! And these old lepers begin to eat and feast. I mean, they were having a time. And I mean, boy, it was like, oh man, this is the time. Amen? Remember when I first got saved, I was just rejoicing and happy and golly, I'm foundered on Jesus. You full? Say yeah. full too. Man, I'm so full. You full? I say, yeah. Man, my arm, my leg's still gone. Your arm still fell off. Your eyes fell out. We're full. They still a whole town full of people that are dying. Huh? They still a whole town full of people that are dying. It ain't no good for us to be sitting here full and have everything, and them people are dying. See, they don't know the enemy's been ran off. They don't know the enemy has been destroyed. They don't even know that this camp is out here and they're starving to death. So it don't do us any good to sit here and be full and tell each other how full we are. We need to go tell some people who are hungry that need Jesus to come into the camp where there's food. I'm preaching better than y'all are amen, and I'll just tell you that. So if you're full on Jesus and you're founded on Jesus and you're happy with Jesus, guess what? There's enough Jesus for everybody. Go tell them all. What if they don't come? What if they don't show up? Oh, well, we're the only ones here. Praise God, if I invite you to the party and you don't come to the party, I'm still going to party, sis. Amen? I ain't worried about if anybody shows up at the church. I'm telling them to come to church. I'll show them the church. I'll show them Christ. I'll tell them there's bread here. But if they don't come get the bread, that don't mean I'm not going to enjoy my bread. What if we do if they don't come? Praise God. Party like you got the bread. And maybe sometime they'll hear it and they'll get tired of eating on the drinking out of the broken cisterns and eating the crooked and ruined bread. You ever eat ruined bread? I ate it for a long time. I thought it was good. The Bible says this way, you can't eat from the Lord's table and the devil's table. Amen? Because I have prepared for you a table. Eat from it. If you ever look, the devil prepares a table. Man, it looks good sometimes, don't it? Whew. But you got to stare at it long enough. If you stare at it long enough, you'll see all the stuff you like on it, but every once in a while you'll see a cockroach run through it. Amen? You'll see a slithery tail. Golly, do I have anybody ever lived in sin here? I remember when the devil promised me everything and I ended up in places that you didn't want people to turn the lights on because you were afraid of what would happen if they did. I guess I was the only one. You ever been there, Chris? So I'm flip that light on. No, not yet. I'm not mentally prepared to see what's going to run when the lights come on. I like God chooses people. God chooses people that we wouldn't choose because guess what? They care about broken people, but they never look at themselves better than any broken person because they always reminded of how broken they were. They are. I remember the first time I ever got called to preach at a literal place. Well, second time actually. The first time was on the radio. The second time somebody said, would you come preach on Monday night to 30 recovering addicts? And I said, yes. I've done that my whole time. Every time I've been in ministry since then, people say, will you come preach? And I say, yes. And then I hang up the phone and I go, oh, what am I going to preach? Man, it's going to be Jesus. But I'm just saying. I went down there and I was sitting on that front row and I thought, man, I have arrived. I am preaching. I'm preaching to somebody. 30 people that are having to be here. Hallelujah. Amen. And they come walking through that door. You know what I seen? I seen 30 me's. One right after another. I said, oh my God. That's me. And then I got to go to the jail, and guess what I found there? Me. Then I went to the nursing home. Future me. I never look at people I minister to. I never look at people that I serve with in the ministry and go, man, look at me. I always look at them and say, God, I'm a broken man tell another broken man or broken woman about Jesus. And all I want to do is hand off that piece of bread and them take that bread and find out how good it is and them say, man, you know what? I got a friend who needs this. I got a friend who needs this bread just like I did. Well, take it to them. There's enough for everybody. Amen, do you know what Jesus said? He said, have them all sit down. Remember when it's one of the few stories or that's in all four Gospels, is when he fed the 5,000. I love that little boy, don't you? And if y'all feel like I'm preaching too long, well, you came. Amen. Amen. He tugged that old boy. He's a little old lad there, and he pulled on the coat of that man. I'll do it that way. I don't know what he was wearing. He said, "Mister, hey, Mister." I got some of them in my church. I love these kids, man. I just love kids. I do. I love kids because a lot of times they laugh and they have fun and they enjoy, and the adults are all sour.
Amen.
But they say, "Hey, preacher." I got one. Every time I show up somewhere, they go, "Hey, there's the preacher, man." I'm like, "Yeah." Then we get into a dinosaur thing, and it's pretty cool. Anyway, I got a couple more. "Hey, mister. Hey, mister. What, son, what? Will you give my lunch to Jesus? Because I know he can do something with it." Jesus, he takes it to Jesus. He says, "This old boy over here has got some lunch, but what is it among so many? Have them all sit down. Have them all sit down." How many? 5,000, not counting women and children. So about 15,000 people, have them all sit down. Have them sit down in order. No, God, never mind. Yeah, if y'all don't know it, y'all are in order this morning. We got you in rows, amen? And guess what? I hate to tell you this, but I prayed over every row this morning when I came to church. I prayed if you were sitting in one of them rows and you needed Jesus, that you'd get up and come to the altar and you wouldn't even know why. But I want you to know this. Praise God. He said, set them down. And all it was an illustration of what he was going to do at the cross. Jesus was going to take a little, one body and get it broke, and he's going to feed everybody with it. And it wouldn't never run out. It wouldn't never run dry and would never run out until every person that was supposed to have some got some. And guess what? Then there's going to be some left over for the people who said, "I couldn't have got any." And it was going to be a basket full, 12 order, complete order, 12 basketfuls left over for when you stand there and say, "There was never an opportunity for me." God will say, "There was always some for you." I want you to know this. The Bible says this, in the last judgment, even in the great white throne judgments, all the books will be open. The book of life will be open. And I always wondered, why in the world would the book of life be open for people who wouldn't be written in it? The reason is because where he can show you, there was a space, an opportunity to have your name written down. It was up to you to choose it. You got a free opportunity this morning to choose it. So I thought about, why did that guy pass by? One, he wanted to heal him for his use, but ultimately, he wanted to save him. See, the boy didn't get saved down until the end. His sight was restored. His sight was restored first. He walked around, and he testified of his sight being restored. Amen. And this is a cool deal right here. I like this part. But Jesus didn't show up again and save him until he had been kicked out. He had went before the Sanhedrin twice and told them what happened, and they didn't want to believe him. They didn't believe him, and they didn't believe Jesus. So they said, "You get out of here. You was born in sin." So were they. Amen? And as soon as the religious elite who never loved Jesus and don't love him either, I can tell when people love Jesus because they love people. It says, "You have passed from life unto death when you love the brethren." If you don't love people, you don't love Jesus. So he goes in there and he says, "So you've been kicked out." "Yeah. Mom and daddy don't know me. Friends don't know me. And they kicked me out of the synagogue." "Good. Do you believe that I'm the Son of God? Do you believe I'm Jesus? Do you believe I'm the..." He goes, I don't know who he is. "Me, the one that healed you of your blindness. See, I touched you and got your biggest problem, one of your biggest problems out of the way, but you still got a bigger problem. Some of y'all are doing good, but you got one bigger problem remaining. You can see, you can walk, you can talk, but if your biggest problem ain't been removed, you're in trouble. Jesus does a lot of great things, but the greatest thing he does is save."
Amen.
And what does he save you for? To glorify him, but to never, ever, ever return to the darkness. Never. You think he's ever tempted to go back into the darkness? I'll say the scripture for you. You're tempted. You're tempted. You're tempted. Jesus was tempted in every way possible. Could you imagine what the first week that he was saved? Pretty crazy week, wasn't it? As soon as he's healed, he has to tell people what happened to him. Then some people don't recognize him anymore because he's got eyes and he's seeing and he's doing things. And they say, well, I don't even know if that's him anymore. Chris, you ever lost your identity? You ever lose your identity? You ever lose your identity? I lost mine. I lost my identity. When I got saved, I lost my identity. What I identified myself as and what other people identified me as. Golly. Some people identify you by your sin. Drug dealer, liar, thief, baller, shot caller. 22-inch rims on my Impala. Now are you with me, Josh? Prideful, arrogant, boastful, rich. Right? So when Jesus saves you, you might not know who you are anymore. You just know you're different.
Amen.
And everybody looks at you and they see you as different. Right? Is that good? Don't know who you are? That's kind of stressful. Then all of a sudden you got to explain yourself to a bunch of people that don't love you and don't love Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, you're sitting there arguing and wrestling with somebody all the time. Say, is it worth it? Keith, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I'm preaching everywhere this morning. I don't care. I get tired of standing up there. It gets old. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is Jesus worth it? You know why he's worth it? Because you're not in darkness anymore. You're not in darkness anymore. No. Somebody said, well, man, you've been in a lot of trouble. You've argued with a lot of people. You wrestle with people. The devil, somebody said this morning, the devil's all over. Man, the devil, man, he camps out of my house sometimes. Dude, he builds a tent, pitches a fire, has s'mores. He enjoys himself. He laughs. He's like, Kevin's stressed out. And then when Kevin's stressed out, golly, Melissa's really stressed out. You think it's bad for me. She's got to take care of me. That's scary. He laughs. Packs his tent. He sits down there and he just laughs. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. Is it still worth it? Yeah, because I'm not sitting in my sin. I'm not going to hell. I'm not dying in my sin. I've got peace that passes all understanding. Every time he laughs, I laugh a little louder. I'm like, the joke's on you, man. Because when this thing's all wrapped up, said, and done, the worst feelings I ever had will be left right here on this planet. I'm going to glory, the place you used to reside.
Amen.
You're going to a much hotter destination. And can I go back and just preach one more segment on this last part about him? He is a liar. So if you ever get somebody branded as a liar, you know what the fun thing about that is? Every time they open their mouth, you just do opposite because they're a liar. You're going to die. I'm going to live. You're going under. I must be going up. You're broke. I must be rich. Nobody likes you. Gosh, everybody loves me. Amen? Your family's all going to fall apart. They're all going to stick together. Y'all, this is funny, but it's true. If he's a liar, if God said he's the liar and father of all lies, everything he says is opposite world. The only problem is sometimes we buy into the lie and he's sitting over there going, God did it again.
Amen.
Let's all stand. You know, as they come get a song, do you know what hell's going to be like? You know why hell's going to be so terrible? Because everybody there bought into the lie that God wasn't real. One of the worst parts is they're going to sit there and they're going to say, I bought into a lie and I rejected the truth. You know what's been happening here this morning? God's passing by. You know what He wants? He wants people just like you to go tell other broken people about Jesus.
Amen.
He wants to grow the kingdom of God. Not our kingdom, not our titles, not our place, but the kingdom of God. This altar's open if you want to come pray.